Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal noises, the tremor of cold, the feminine of this, and I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Well, hello and howdy and hi and hi and hi and hi. Did you know that in the United States during this election, they've actually in 9 different states decriminalized certain psychedelic drug things, magic muffins would be awesome. I think that would be a thing. We should probably get that. This is just crazy things. So on tonight's show, we have a new and talented guest, MJ Moores. How's it going, MJ?
Pretty good. How's it going with you, Zach?
Oh, I'm always amazing. As I fine-tune my adjustments on my microphone so that I don't sound so loud. But I don't mind being loud. Loud is good.
It is. Where people can hear you.
Oh, people can always hear me. I make my voice known when I need to.
Yeah, I recall I was a teacher for about 10 years. And kids knew when they could hear me. It was not necessarily a good thing.
So what's even cooler is with the setup I've got is that I can hear myself talking as well as you talking because I'm using a monitor as well.
Wow. So it's like you're getting feedback, like double looping.
Not feedback, not looping. Feedback. This not is looping. Just I can hear me talk.
Oh.
And it's awesomely sometimes crazy weird, but it does what it's supposed to do.
Good.
Okay, let me fine tune the adjustment there a little bit. We should be a little bit more in tune. Yeah, that sounds better.
Alrighty then.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you write some books. I read your website.
You found that, did you?
I was. You know what? It was surprisingly easy. MJ Moores, bam, your site came right up the top.
Brilliant. That's what I like to hear.
Well, that's the idea, right?
It totally is, yes. And hopefully I've taken enough marketing classes by now that it's actually doing what it's supposed to do.
Okay. I have one suggestion.
What?
On your website, put your Twitter handle and Instagram handle on there somewhere under your about.
Even if I don't go on them?
Yeah. That way people know where they can post things.
Okay.
But, it's great that you have a contact me page on there that says, hey, if you want to talk to me, just put some stuff here and we'll talk.
Yeah. I like to talk.
Talking is always good.
So yeah, I write a lot. I've been
okay.
Doing it for a while.
Chat room question was, what kind of books do you have?
I have speculative fiction, mostly, and romantic suspense. Basically, what I tell people is, I don't really stick to one particular genre. I write about the journey. It's about what's going on inside of you, as well as some crazy action-packed stuff happening on the outside, too. Some of it's fantasy, some of it's sci-fi, some of it's contemporary. There's a little bit of romance in everything I write, so if you don't like that, don't read me, honestly. But it's not over the top. It's not like super mushy, in-your-face, gooey. No, I can't stand that. It's just the simple stuff. Think Indiana Jones. I loved him when I was a kid.
Who didn't?
I mean, how could you not like Harrison Ford? But hey, the whole idea of Indiana Jones and those movies just spoke to me. And that's basically what I write. Yeah.
Okay. So adventure and fun times and people doing stuff and stuff happening.
Yeah. And
okay, show's over. Great.
A little more serious. I mean, they've got some lighter moments in them, but they're a little bit more serious. And lately, I've been venturing into stuff that's a little more lighthearted. especially with my Demon Tales series that I write with a fellow author, Nancy Pattenden.
I've met Nancy.
Yes, you have. We were hanging out with you at the Indie Author area.
Yes, and for those who don't know, I have an artist alley that's currently shuttered during the wonderful times of COVID. But I met MJ and Nancy there.
Yeah, and well, we met it. We met before then too.
Fan Expo.
It could have been. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably would have been Fan Expo.
Yep.
Which also was shuttered this year.
Yeah. So sad. But they tried.
I don't know how much of a they tried that was.
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear great feedback about that.
I mean, I get that they were actually trying, but at the same time, it sounded way more like them just trying to, hey, we can't get any money out of this, so we're going to put something together so that we can tell people we tried. And then when the government says that can we get any money? It's like, yeah, can we have some money? We tried.
Right. Yes. That's what I heard.
Yeah. And I mean, it's what it is. I mean, what are you going to do? The situation is not normal for anyone, really.
Yeah, agreed. But I mean, there's so much good that's coming out of this too, being able to do conferences online. There's so much that we can do technology wise. We don't have to be confined to a room with thousands of people to still be able to connect.
So are you familiar with the term called telepresence?
I am not.
Okay. Then a learning curve. You should, because it's about technology. It is the idea that what you can do is you can have a setup. Wait, I got to look at a button. Sorry.
Ah!
Oh, I was going the wrong direction on that button. So let's push this back that way. So instead of going left, I was going right. And right would be smaller. Haha. There I am. Now I'm not redlining. Okay, good. And you don't hear all the clicks when I click on the things. So, hey, Jack. Jack is in the chat room as well. By the way, we have a couple people in the chat room, so if you want to say anything to them, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
There you go. telepresence is... Okay, so whenever you see in a movie or a TV show and they have the one guy is showing up in the conference discussion and he's not actually there, but it's like a hologram?
Yeah.
That's telepresence.
Cool.
It's the idea that you can actually have interactions and communications without actually being there. The other part of telepresence is having like a little robot thing. So it can move around and it's you got your view and you're seeing what it's seeing. But it's a physical thing in a space when you're not actually there, but you can participate in a physical space.
Yes. I have seen this on several TV shows and some movies. I didn't realize it had a title, though. This is awesome.
It's had a title for, what the hell, when did the expression come out? I don't know, maybe about 7-8 years ago?
Oh, so I'm not too far behind then.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I don't think a lot of people know about it much, but it's basically a thing.
I'm glad it's a thing. Is it actually a real thing or is it just still a concept thing?
Oh, no, it's a real thing. There are real elements to this being used quite a bit right now. I mean, Apple uses it in their... they had a big event release thing a couple of weeks ago, and watching it and how slick it was, you can see where the elements interact. And you can see how things shade over on things when they have this big room. It's a giant theater and you have like one guy here and you have like all these people over there, but they're not actually physically there. They're being recorded in another thing and broadcast over on a screen so that you can see them as a sort of a thing together, but they're not actually together.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Technology is cool.
It is.
Speaking of which, in the year 2029, the Terminators are going to take over and kill everybody and send John Connor's Kyle Reese back to try and save John Connor.
Yes, I do recall that. But if he actually does wind up saving himself, doesn't that reset the timeline?
Ha! Now, there are multiple different ways to interpret that. Yes, technically the whole idea is as soon as you go back in time, you are no longer in the same timeline. You've created a new timeline.
Right.
Theory one. Theory two. Exposed in Agents of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hey, you go back in time and you mess with a few little things and the timeline actually works it all out. But right. In the larger scheme of things, if you do some big things, well, then you start breaking things up.
Right. I like that. The last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was pretty. That was lots of fun.
The ending of that episode was awesome. It was a very well, hey, let's epilogue the crap out of everything. It's like, boosh, nice tie and a little bow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard something about them doing Nick Fury.
Nick Fury looks awesome. The idea behind it, I'm looking forward to it.
I haven't heard much. What have you heard?
Just a couple of little things. They have Samuel Jackson is going to be reprising the role as a TV show. It will be a little bit more S.H.I.E.L.D.-like than some of the movies were with his stuff that's in it. Well, other than that, there's not really a lot. But it's going to be the most expensive Marvel TV show they've ever put out.
Because he's in it.
Because he's in it, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Something now, to look forward to.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's there's a whole... See, I don't know if you're familiar with what's happening with DC as well. But Marvel has gotten their shit together before... They were one step away of like falling into the complete crapper.
Oh.
That's when Disney bought them out.
Uh-huh.
So before that, they were like one step away from declaring bankruptcy. I think right. They had declared Chapter 11 when we're rearranging their assets and stuff. And Disney said, oh, 5,000 characters? Ooh, that's yummy. Let's buy that company. So they did. And what a lot of people don't realize is Stan Lee almost bankrupted the company.
Really?
Yeah. Well, his pursuit of the way his vision was on how Marvel should be was slowly driving it to the point where it just couldn't support that kind of activity. And in an effort to try and raise money, they'd sold all the licenses off to Sony, Universal, Warner, whatever. Right. And they were not producing the residual cash flow back to them. Mm. So they were one step away from going kaputsk.
Yeah.
And when Disney took over, Disney has this great mythology. Even though they're an evil empire, what happens yes. is they believe very strongly in hire the right people, let them do their jobs. So that's why Marvel's products have done really well in the theater, is that you get the right director, you get the right team of people together, and you let them go and do what they're good at and do a good job. And I respect that. That's a cool thing.
That's a good philosophy.
Yeah. And it's for a company this big as Disney is, that's an amazing thing. Because one of the things that has killed a lot of shows, Firefly, for example, is when you get the production companies coming into this, like, oh, we want to see more of this and we want to see less of this and we see more of this. And the director says, what the hell are you doing? Get out of my show. Get away. Okay, you know what? Screw this. I quit. This is done. We're gone. And that's basically what happened there.
Yeah. At least we got a movie out of it, too.
We want more.
I know.
We want more. Always more. It's always the things. Always want more. Oh, wait. And that's not a play on your name, either. See? I type things around. It comes and goes and goes and comes and comes and goes and it goes and it goes. So... What kind of characters do you like run in your stories? I mean, are they youthful? Or are they elderly? Are they like scary? You don't like scary, though.
I don't like scary. No, they're definitely youthful. Most of my characters tend to hang out in the 17 to 25 year old range. And I'm quite happy and capable of writing those people because my brain is still in that mode, even though I'm twice as old. Should I say that? We all have this mental version of ourselves where, you know, we are a certain age and we may or may not grow beyond that age. So my plateau was about 21. So I'm kind of right where I was just before I got married at 22. And so my brain, I can easily flip into the upper high school side of things or hang out at the college age. And so my characters are always exploring an understanding of who they are and looking at a whole bunch of firsts, whether it's, you know, I hate to be quaint here, you know, the whole first love thing, but I do spend a fair bit of time on characters that have never really had a chance to express themselves, I guess, where love is concerned or explore that. I was very naive as a child, so I think that keeps popping up in my writing for some reason.
Well, I think, to be honest, almost everybody is naive in their early stages of life and development.
We would hope so.
I mean, that's kind of the whole point of growing, living, loving, moving forward, moving backwards, moving towards whatever, is you learn shit. And, oh, by the way, it's okay to swear on this show. You can, if you need to swear and just blurt it out, don't worry about it being a problem. I swear all the time.
Not I noticed. Really. Not I held really, myself all back the time. At the beginning.
Huh?
I held myself back at the beginning. I wanted to say ass for some reason, and then I stopped myself. But then I heard, you know, you say shit, and I was like, oh, okay, this is good. It's one of
Yeah, don't fluff and worry about it. It's okay. by the way, one of my favorite comic books ever is called I Hate Fairyland. And the whole premise behind it is it's a young girl. She comes into Fairyland when she's like 12 years old, and she's stuck there for 20 years. She's only supposed to be there for one day. But all of her swearing is replacement words. So Muffin Fluffer, I love it. It's awesome. It's a great comic, good artwork. But the story is like, oh my gosh, I want to write this.
Aw. Yeah, so that's similar to my newer stuff, where I'm getting a little more lighter on the side of things. Because the world is just way too heavy and dark for me right now. I'm unfortunately, which I learned later in life, very empathic, and I tend to take in a lot more than I should what's going on around me. So I've learned now to kind of focus on stuff that's a little lighter. I mean, Marvel was great. It was with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I love that series for that reason. Men in Black. I mean, so that's very much what my Demon Tales series kind of follows, is that sort of tongue-in-cheek, kind of on the edge of humor, but not necessarily outright, look at life where you don't really take yourself too seriously.
Oh, but, so like the show Supernatural?
Yes, but serious shit happens.
Serious shit totally happens. Everywhere, all kinds of corners. Yeah. Even when it's not that serious, sometimes it is.
Exactly. So, I mean, heck, my newest release for Demon Tales is actually going to be out on Friday the 13th.
Good choice.
Yeah, it's called A Craptacular Understatement.
I generally use craptacular a lot as an expression just to say, hey, that's awesome. It's craptacular.
Right.
Sometimes it's craptaculous.
So, yeah, we were having a lot of fun, Nancy and I, writing that one. I mean, it's about bird shit.
Bird shit! Wait, what?
Magical bird shit!
Oh, my gosh. You should listen to my squirrel stories.
Oh, I should.
The giant squirrel, actually, the squirrel doesn't really care so much about it, but Danger Stranger Manger Man Mouse has been pursuing the giant pigeon who's leaving doo-doo all around the place, and feels he has to kill it. But his cohorts along the path are a giant squirrel, a micro squirrel, a crocodile doctor, and a couple of other characters.
Cool.
So that's funny that you say that it's a craptacular exposition.
Yes. Yeah.
I was just looking. I was pretty sure I had one of your books.
You do. You have the first one that ever got published. Times Tempest in the Chronicles of Xenea.
I just don't remember where I put it. I have most of my people books right there, and it's not there.
Huh. Yeah, that one took a long time to write. That was it. That was my 10-year rewrite three times, learn how to write book. It was you know, one of those things where you got to let the baby go.
Yes.
Get it out there, kick it out of the, you know.
I have experienced that thing.
Yeah.
So how did you end up actually, like, did you pursue somebody to publish it, or did you actually just sort of squeaked into something?
Well, I, from day one, wanted to go the traditional route. So, you know, I was looking for an agent, sent out something like a paltry 28 queries. Really, that's nothing.
A paltry.
But I was so impatient. I was on LinkedIn trying to network. I was interviewing people because I was doing article writing at the time for a few different writing magazines, online magazines. And I came across an editor who was working with me on a particular article. And she mentioned that her publishing house was expanding into all genres. And they were looking for work. And at the time, I was thinking to myself, oh, well, that means they're newbies.
Yeah.
And I ignored
it. Not necessarily.
But yeah. But then a few months later, when I got my 28th rejection, I looked her up and I said, are you still looking at new genres? You know, she's like, yeah, you have something? I'm like, yeah. So I sent it to her. And she's like, oh, this is great. You know, I'd love to offer you a contract. Are you okay with cutting 17,000 words?
Stab wound.
You know, it's epic fantasy. And so it was already at like 125,000 words. So I was like, yeah, I could cut. I've already been working on this for 10 years. I can handle it. You tell me, and I'll go.
How many examples of the can I take out?
Yeah. actually, there was a couple chapters that almost mirrored each other. So that was a pretty easy cut. And then, you know, a few other things. So she was really very good. And I was working with her. We actually wound up adding another 24,000 words. So we cut 17. But then we brought it back up again in the right places, I always say. You know,
well, she yeah.
Was, yeah. But I was with them for about a year and a half. We were just getting ready to put out book two. And we were working on the revisions for that, Cadence of Consequences. And I did...
I'm going to stop you with a second. Cadence of Consequences?
Yeah. That's
I like that title.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's all about, you know, this is the path you chose to walk, so deal with it.
Yeah. And it's got cadence, so it's got some beat pattern to it.
Totally. Yeah, so then I did the biggest faux pas you could imagine. it was an interview on a blog answering, you know, the standard author questions, and they're like, oh, what would you do differently the next time? Or what do you find is difficult? One of those strange questions. And I said something along the lines of, well, I wish I had a little bit more leeway to be able to explore different options with various, I guess, indie avenues, getting out content for the books. And... I think I used the phrase, you know, it feels like the publishing house is a bit of a ball and chain at times. Oh my God, I must tell you that it was less than an hour later that it went live that my acquisitions editor contacted me and said, you have to remove that. You are in breach of contract. You are, you know, it's defamation of character for our company, and we're dropping you. And I'm like, what? Huh? So, I mean, I backpedaled. Donald as much as I could. I thought we had a great working relationship. I make one simple slip up and I'm out. And I even had them remove it from the post that it was included in. And they're like, well, thank you for removing it, but goodbye.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, what about my book? They're like, well, you have the full rights back. We'll even give you the cover if you want it. And I'm like, okay, because here I am promoting it and I'm talking about book two coming out and all of a sudden I don't have a publisher anymore.
And now you can promote the indie methodologies.
Exactly. I suddenly, you know, it was like, okay, time to dive in and be an indie author now.
Yeah.
Because nobody else is going to want to pick up a book that's already been published.
Well, no, there's a couple of publishers that'll do that.
Yeah, but at the time, I was very new and I didn't know where to look to find them. So, and then like you said, you know, I was already leaning toward, I had an indie bent in me because I've been doing a lot of research. So I did it. I dove right in and I went kamikaze, but luckily I'm still alive and I'm still doing it. And I'm still what you'd call a hybrid author. I have a new publishing house that I'm with,
excellent.
Love Nut Books. That's for my romantic suspense series. Mainly, I decided to go that route so that I could, in theory, get money from the government to write, you know, grants.
See, this is a thing that's better in Canada, just for people understanding. MJ, like myself, we're in Canada. And the government in this country actually likes arts and literature. Uh-huh. And it's kind of one of these things that make us as a country and the citizens all feel good about ourselves that we contribute to these things. So the government actually, I have never been able to get a grant. I've actually never really applied, but I didn't really think I could ever get one.
Well, I have applied 3 times.
Okay.
And it's hilarious because every time I get the notification, they're like, we need you to keep applying every year because if our numbers go down, then we have less money to give out to people. And I'm like, guess what? If I never get any money, why do I want to waste my time applying?
Exactly. Like the picture that somebody just posted in the chat room of a young woman on a chair just going spinning around and around and around and around.
That is totally what it feels like, honestly. I mean,
but you should keep trying for the grants because I do know people who have gotten them.
Yes. And I am. I have this story. Oh, it's hilarious.
Uh-oh.
Like I said, it's 3 years now that I've been trying to get a grant, coming up on 4 years. And it says for the Ontario Arts Council that the manuscript in the book that you are putting in for cannot be completed when they say that you earn the grant
right.
money or you've been awarded it. You still need to be able to have time to work on it, to write it, to polish it, and then publish it.
Do they make it a percentage that it has to, that can be no longer more than like 50% done or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
But I had the first 3 chapters written and I've had them rewritten and polished every time I've resubmitted. And I tell you, I've got 5 different books I want to write for that series, but I've only got 3 fucking chapters written because I can't finish writing the damn thing until I get the grant.
So it's time to write on another book and keep that one in the pot so that when you get the grant, you can say, hey, look.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, that's a series I'm really excited about, but I've had to put a damper on. So I've been focusing on, now that the Chronicles of Zenea is done, and I finished that 2 years ago, I've been focusing on 3 different series. There was the romantic suspense series I told you about. That's what I call my flawed attraction romances.
I see that picture.
Yeah. So there's always, you know, a major flaw in, you know, how are these 2 people going to get together? You know,
well, isn't there like
really
most relationships?
Yeah. It's like, they're really not meant to be together, but because of the circumstances that they find themselves in, they are open to considering things that they never had before. And so that's sort of the theme that runs through that series. It's a different set of characters every time. but it's always in the college setting, university setting.
Okay.
Yeah, so and it's romantic suspense, so equal to the romance is, the suspenseful plot line. In the first one, it's at a university, and there is a bomb scare, and our two hero and heroines need to stop the bomb from blowing up, and only they can do it.
I've seen this movie. It's a diehard movie.
I know, isn't it awesome?
So it kind of sounds, and I'm just going to throw this out on the wall. It's like, hey, that you're a plotter. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the pantser versus plotter thing.
I totally am.
Okay, so it sounds like you're a plotter. Come up with an idea, branch it out, work it out, and then bam, start writing.
Yes, although these days I find myself as more of a plancer.
Pantser.
No.
Oh, I mean a
Combine the
combo.
two.
A combo.
Combo, yeah. When I did the first series, Chronicles of Xenea, my last two books, I overplotted. I could show you flow charts just that go on for days and my notes, and then it came to writing it and I didn't want to write it because I had already plotted it to death. So it was kind of hard to write those ones even though I knew what I wanted to say. So when I started my new series, it actually I have a serial, a young adult serial
Ooh, is it like Cheerios?
that is, yeah, it's
Okay.
called Shadow Phoenix.
Oh, I see
And
that picture too.
yes, and so it's steampunk in the Victorian era,
Ooh, I like
where,
steampunk.
yes, steam rules. And she basically falls into realizing that she'd make a kick-ass hero and
Excellent.
helping people at night, while she's figuring out, who she is during the day, because she's actually sort of stuck between the upper and middle class, like the middle class and lower class. Her genealogy, her blood is from the upper class, but she's a bastard, so she has no claim to anything. And her mother was basically shunned for having gotten pregnant
Well,
from a married
cha.
man. Yeah, so she basically has a foot in both worlds and
Okay.
knows what's going on.
Three things.
What's up?
One, earlier comment, somebody in the chat room said, does you fall in the down the rabbit hole and end up in surprising places?
I can.
Okay. Two, I'm often accused of, I say this thing a lot, I have a movie for you, but I'm going to change it for you. It's like, I have a comic book for you. It's
Oh.
called Lady Mechanica.
Okay.
You might dig it. It's got some similar shadings to how you explained Shadow Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's very steampunkish, but
Nice.
the woman is, she's half mechanical.
Okay.
And she doesn't know why.
Oh.
It's a good series of comic. Artwork's beautiful. It's all lovely stuff. And then the third thing is another comment in the chat room says, your that storyline sounds like a Studio Ghibli anime.
You have lost me.
It's an anime from Japan.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, so as you know, that you may ascribe to one of the two following notions, that there is only one story that gets told over and over again, or that there are only seven stories in the world that
I
get
believe in
told over
five.
and over again. Okay, there you go. You're the
I'm a
five.
fiver.
You're a fiver. But yeah, I ascribe to the one story, and basically what makes it unique are the characters, the people that you're getting to know. Yeah, those situations are going to happen over and over again. We know that history repeats itself.
Many times.
But the way people deal with it, that's what's unique, and that's what's brought to make fresh what we have already visited before.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, I sound in the wrong place, so I should probably sit back down again.
Oh.
That's the great thing about this microphone setup is I can actually stand up and walk away from it, and you can still hear me.
Ooh.
The better was the boom mic, but the boom mic was the one that was fading out and doing robot voice things, so maybe there might be a crimp in the cables. Like, I don't know, whatever. We'll figure that one out later.
Yeah, you did do robot voice tonight, though.
I did?
Yeah.
I did not hear it.
I did.
When?
I don't know, 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago? I can't remember.
Okay, well, now I have to make a note so I can edit it.
Yeah.
Okay. And another lovely comment in the chat room, as long as I can't hear you pee. It's like, yes, that's, no, you laugh. Well, I was on a live show taping with a friend on his show, and one of his guests actually left the microphone on his phone, and he went to the bathroom. And we could all hear it. And he was going for a little while. I was like, what the hell did you drink? But whatever. Going a little side.
Oh, that, you know what? Those are the moments that
you always remember.
Yes, and work them into your books and your stories, and whether you're, you know, it's a tale that we tell on the radio or it's something you write down, that's what really brings, you know, the fun back in. Taking a whiz while you're on the interview.
Yeah. It's like all of life and existence is a combination of moments and memories and things that just sort of scatter together.
Yeah.
Yes. So Demon Tales, I like the name of it and I like the image. What is that one about?
Yeah, so that's basically Supernatural meets Men in Black.
Cool.
It takes place, Demon stands for Department of Extraordinary Monsters, Ontario.
Yay, Ontario.
Yeah. So headquarters is in Aurora. Most people not know where that is, but it's about an hour north of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so basically everybody's, Toronto just has what they call an outpost. Nobody wants to go to Toronto.
No, please. Perishing notion.
And then all of the actual divisions are, you know, like in the Kawarthas or in Chatham and in, you know, other places where crazy.
Gravenhurst?
Yeah, yes, there's definitely one up in that way. We have everything, we don't have everything, but we have the locations plotted out, Nancy and I, and so that we know where they are. And we even have one in Timmins. Which is actually where all of the crap starts.
Oh.
Wait,
that's where Shania Twain's from.
Yes. Maybe it's her fault. But, yeah, so this is going to be a long-haul series. It's novellas.
Cool.
And it's going to have 28 novellas.
I'm hearing the plotting methodology coming in.
Oh, yeah. You know, the first one, we have assassin eco corpses. So it starts with an A.
Oh, yes, you're doing it alphabetical.
Yes. And then we have Bobcat Got Your Tongue. And we have a craptacular understatement. And book four that we're working on right now is Double Dog Dare Ya. But it's not just the titles, it's also the demons, cryptids, and monsters that they run into. Each one in the corresponding books also starts with that letter. So the first one was a Amemion, a demon, and then mm-hmm. the second one was Baal, a demon, and the third one is a bird. Oh, what did we call it again? It was one that Nancy found. It starts with a C, and then
I'm trying to remember any demon devil names I know that start with a C, and I can't remember. Baal, I've known.
It's actually a cryptid for.
Okay.
Yeah, for C. It's a bird. It's a magical bird, Roman.
So are these anywhere in the world cryptids, or are these Canadian specific ones?
Anywhere in the world.
Okay.
Same thing with the monsters, because book four will be dragons.
Yay, dragons!
Gotta get the dragons in there.
Was it a chupacabra?
No, it's not. Okay. It's just a bird that heals
the
people.
Bird.
But
Chimera?
No, it's not a chimera.
Okay, I'm naming all the sea ones I know.
I know. Well, yeah, it's not a very well-known one.
Oh, now you're gonna make me go and look up the Wonderful World list of monsters because I did do this a couple episodes ago because I had somebody on and we were talking about monsters. All kinds of monsters.
But if you see, it's not a monster, it's a cryptid, so it may not
We
be in
included
that list.
cryptids.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna
Let's
actually
see.
see
We
if I can think of some.
got Cyclops, Charybdis, Changeling, Cerberus, Centaurs.
Nope.
Nope, those are just monsters. Now I want cryptids. Don't mind me. I'm going to stop doing that because that's not what we're talking about. But do we have a Mugwump?
We don't know what we're doing for M yet.
Okay.
We've
Well,
only gone up as
Mugwump is
far
like
as
a
eight.
Yeti, but in Canada.
That's hilarious. Quite possibly,
Okay.
knowing
Throwing that at
yes, we will definitely have to put that. So you see, we do some planning. We know that each letter is going to be representative of a demon, monster, or cryptid, but we've only gone up as far as D. But
ya.
we're
Okay.
also going to do 13, the number 13, and 666. We'll finish it all off.
That was a good song. 666, number of the beast, born and bred. Okay, hellfire based released. Okay, man, why am I brain dead? I'm my brain broken. I'm just gonna go with it. Moving on. But yes, okay. Somebody just threw out Cadborosaurus.
No, it's not that.
Never even heard of that one.
I'm
I'll
actually.
just do the wink. It's like what? Okay, and then move. So, Demon Tales. So,
Yeah, so
have you ever heard of Charles D. Lind?
the
He's a
name is
writer.
familiar.
He's a
Yeah.
writer. He's a Canadian writer. But he did a lot of what you call urban fantasy, and his stories are based in Ottawa.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. I like just sharing because I like to share.
Yes, definitely. I
So,
am actually
nope, keep
trying to
going.
find the name.
See, I
I
was trying to give
honestly,
you room and time. Okay, come
I
on.
am.
Chocolatier?
Sorry?
A chocolate. Oh, I'm reading that as being like a chocolate tear.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I would
No.
have also gone with a cockatrice, but that's a big bird.
Well, yeah, that's closer, right? Because I mean, it is a bird.
People in the chat room are trying to win stuff by guessing it right.
That's
It's
hilarious.
like,
You know what?
good
If
luck
you
with
do
that.
guess it right, you know what? I just found it.
Okay. They need hints
Finally.
then.
Sorry, say that again.
They need hints then.
Okay. Oh. Well,
Really
like I
good,
said.
creepy, unable to really find hint because they're probably just Googling it.
All right, so it is Roman mythology,
Roman. Uh-oh.
and it's all white bird, and it has healing
Calliope.
properties.
Sorry, it has what? Healing properties.
Healing properties.
That's not a phoenix, because that doesn't start with a C.
No.
Oh man, I should know Roman mythology. I know lots of that.
Yeah. How about we wait until the end of our conversation and
That
people
sounds like
can
a good idea.
continue? Yeah, people can continue to put their guesses down. And if somebody guesses it right, then I will give a free copy of the ebook of book
Ooh.
three when it comes out on Friday the 13th to the winner.
So if they keep throwing out guesses in the chat room, do you want to hear them right now or do you want to hear them later?
Let's look at them later. I mean, if you want to save 5 minutes toward the end, you can kind of run through the list at that point.
Okay.
But it has to start with a C.
It
It has to
starts
be
with
a
a C.
bird, right? It has to be a bird, and it needs to be an all-white bird from Roman mythology that heals people.
Okay. And I think she got that.
All right.
Because I just found it. Meh. It's all good. Okay. So, What else is on the play? What else? What else?
Oh, well, working on Shadow Phoenix Volume 2 right now. Basically, what has I've got about half of it written. There's 8 episodes in each volume. Works very similarly to a comic book or TV show in that serial series kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode came out last month. The next episode will be out next month. And yeah, it's just working away on that. Just always writing, you know, more than one thing at a time, because something will be out to the editor and I'll be waiting for, you know, writing something and something's coming in. And this is, of course, NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month.
What?
It is.
I know. I don't do it.
Crazy authors attempting to, you know, write an entire book in 30 days.
What the heck? That shouldn't be that hard. 2,000 words a day, 60,000 words in a month. It's like easy. No?
How often have you done that?
On average, I can write about 1,000 to 2,000 words in about an hour and a half.
Wow.
But I don't do that often because I am pre-arthritic, so my fingers hurt after I do that. And then I can only do it for 1 or 2 days, and then I skip and I don't do it again for a little while.
Right. Either to let your fingers relax or because you got other things going on.
Too many things.
Yeah. Life often gets in the way of those of us who write.
Yes.
And that's why this is considered a challenge. I know a gentleman. He has several books out. But he basically waits till NaNo, takes 2 weeks of vacation, and writes a book a week. He is so prolific. And then he spends the rest of the year editing those 2 books and publishing them.
Well, that is a way to make it top heavy on one side and bottom heavy on the rest.
Uh-huh.
I guess if it works for him. Does it work for him?
It does. It
Excellent.
Does. Yes, and I say, you know, great on you, because I couldn't do that.
Right.
I do set aside time every morning, or try to, when I'm not working on editing for clients. And I will probably spend a good 2 hours writing, and I might get a chapter done. So one of my chapters tends to run between 1,500 to 3,000 words.
Cool.
As long as I don't have anything else pulling at me for attention,
like children.
You know, and especially, you know, today, my kid, he's nine.
They're kids. They do stuff. It's what happens.
Yeah. But for him, it's one of those situations where his mother's a writer and an editor and an English teacher. And he is on the low end of the reading scale. He's dyslexic, and I mean, so am I, but not severely so. Neither is he. But it's enough that it's a deterrent to him.
Right.
And he doesn't like writing, and he doesn't like thinking about words. So
it's hard.
We're working on a project right now. Let's do Friday. And it's a book report. And he's supposed to have read a chapter book.
Don't say 1984.
No. He's only in grade 4.
Okay, good. Because 1984 was a hard one to read. And I actually enjoyed it when I read it in school.
Oh, that's good.
But I was one of the few in my class that did.
Right. He got to pick whatever book he wanted.
Okay.
But the thing is, he doesn't read chapter books. I read them to him. So we had to talk to the teacher, and it's like, see, Jaden's reading Lego books, the picture books where, you know, they have the nice big images and the large pages and, you know, maybe a paragraph per page kind of thing that he can handle right now. So her wanting him to do a book report on a chapter book means it has to be a book he's being read to at night. So she was like, you know what? That's fine. As long as he's the one who's doing the writing about the story, by all means. So I'm like, oh, thank God.
Have you tried comic books?
We have. He was reading manga for a little while at school, particularly Pokemon. That's his thing at the moment.
Okay.
But any kind of words, he glosses over. He really only wants to look at the pictures. He reads fine. He just reads slow. And then he forgets the beginning of what he read because he has to work on sounding out words.
Okay.
So,
well, yeah. I can share an experience is that in high school, before high school, I kind of was a little slow on stuff, but that was because we found out that I needed glasses and I couldn't see the chalkboard all the time. It's like, oh, now I can see the chalkboard. I can learn shit. Simple little things. It's usually just like one trigger.
Yep. His eyesight's fine. We get it checked every year.
Yeah.
Because I wear glasses.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I needed them in grade 8, similar to you. It was, I'm not reading shit properly. And finally by grade 9, I could see the board again.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. It's like, oh, you get over that one little hump and it's like, oh, wait, there's a whole world.
Yeah. Specifically, I went to a concert for my birthday, and we were, of course, in some nosebleed seats.
Well, of course.
Yeah, it was at the ACC at the time. Air Canada.
It's not
Center.
Called that anymore.
No, it's the it Scotiabank Arena.
Oh, it's the Scotia. What the hell is the Staples Arena?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it. I don't go to concerts right now, and I don't care.
Exactly. So anyway, I was 8 at the time. So this was quite a while ago. No, I was not 8. I was in grade 8. And so anyway, one of my mom's friends came with us, and it was John Mellencamp concert, and he handed me his glasses because I kept staring and I couldn't see, and I put his glasses on. It was suddenly like, oh my God,
he's got pants.
It's like, I can see him down on stage. I can see what his face looks like. The fact that he's yelling into the microphone. And it was just like the entire world lit up. And I looked at my mom and I'm like, I need to get a pair of these.
And that's how it works. See? Bing, bong, bam.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go on to another phase of questionology because okay, it's an area of things that I'm always fascinated on. From everybody, is called monetization. Well, that's the general term. I get the general impression from talking with you now and past or whatever, is that most of what you're doing is you make a book or a story or whatever, and then you find a way to sell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried Patreon or anything like that? The alternative means of revenue streaming?
I have looked into that and Kickstarter and several other GoFundMe and versions of those. I'm a terrible procrastinator. So if I am supposed to, you know, if you're giving me money to be able to give you early content or bonus material, I'm lucky that I can even make my own deadlines sometimes.
Okay.
So to suddenly have to make a deadline to be able to, you know, say thank you for supporting me, I feel like I'd be letting a lot of people down.
Okay. No, that makes perfect sense to me because I ask this kind of question for a lot of people that I interview because I'm always fascinated. It's like, well, how do you make money doing this? It's not just for my interest, but I'm sure lots of people like to know, well, how do you make money doing this? Because it's kind of the whole starving artist thing. It's always the... that paradigm that everybody uses for being a writer. It's like, oh, I don't make any money. But it's like, there are people out there making money. And I've heard people make money on the fringe side of things, writing story plots for video games.
Yeah.
It's like just creating a whole thing. And it's like, if you can get that into the right place, there's good money there.
Totally. I know a few people who are doing that. And I'm in awe. But no, for me, I'm actually learning how to properly advertise on Amazon and through Facebook.
Okay.
And every time I actually achieve a good ad, there's a definite increase in Kindle Unlimited reads, which then gives me, you know, money through my entire list. So if somebody starts reading Shadow Phoenix from episode 1, volume 1, goes all the way through those 8, and then picks up and starts going through the next volume, that's actually making more money than if they bought the each volume ebook. And there's
right.
just, you know, so, you know, you can make more money that way. And as long as it's called read through. So what is advisable is if you have a series, and that's a longish one, my Chronicles of Zenea is only 4 books long, but a lot of indie authors tend to have series in groups of 3, you know, 3, 6, 9, they go up to 9 or
the
more.
The tradition.
Yeah. And so then your readers will ideally become super fans. And once they get your first book in the first trilogy in the world that they love, they're going to want to read through and keep going. But I only have, well, there's the 4 books in the one, and then I have 2 each in my other series. So I haven't quite hit that third book in each of the other series yet.
Well, so you have to go working on that.
I'm right on that cusp of getting that third book for each of them out there. And then I will have 4 separate series with a minimum of 3 books in each.
Nice.
And I will be able, that's sort of the sweet spot where a lot of indie authors find that they can start generating a reliable income.
Okay. So it sounds like you're playing the game that works on the electronic system.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, no, like I said, it's fascinating to me. It's like, how do people make money on this stuff? I mean, most of my books, when I sell them in person. And that's the only way I can seem to sell them. I mean, I have a couple people buy online, but I don't spend the same kind of effort that you're doing with it.
Right.
Because I have a store, so I can sell them in the store, and I don't have to worry about trying to game the system or whatever. I can just actually talk to people saying, hey, by the way, here's my book. You should buy it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, And that's what I did for the first 6 years.
Right.
But then COVID hit.
Indeed. COVID. What the fluff, right?
I know, right? And I started looking into alternative ways of getting the word out.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Here's one of them, is actually being on a talk show and yapping about stuff.
Totally, right?
And you haven't even noticed that as an hour has gone by, have you?
I didn't look at the time, but I was thinking to myself, you know what? You mentioned to me it can just fly by.
Yeah.
And this has been so much fun that I haven't even noticed the time.
And this is one of my unscripted shows, too. All I have is your website, and I can see stuff about, well, seeing as how I've met you, we've talked in the past. It's like, okay, yeah. There's some things to talk about there. But the whole idea is just, I have guests on here and I just like them to talk about stuff, whether or not it's their stuff or other stuff. One of these days I'm going to have somebody come on and we're going to talk about squirrels.
Oh yeah. I was so ready to talk about squirrels.
Okay.
Oh,
what kind of squirrels?
Okay. So we've been watching Ice Age recently with my son.
Okay.
Of
with
course.
The with the squirrel that likes to tap his foot. And he's trying to get the nut. He's trying to get the nut.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he loves this nut, and he's always trying, he's creating problems by trying to bury the damn nut.
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, and then there's Over the Hedge with the squirrel that is completely bizarro nuts. It like constantly going a million miles an hour, has Red Bull or something toward the end of the movie, and you can see the world slow down around him. He is moving so freaking fast. He's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one. Oh, Sergeant Squirrel. I can't remember the
name
of the
movie. That one I don't know.
Yeah, it's Into the Woods or something. I can't remember. No, not Into the Woods. But anyway, Ashton Kutcher played a moose.
Move.
In the movie. And there was this squirrel that was Sergeant Squirrel. And literally he went around and he was this fat squirrel that bossed everybody around and took charge, and you know, nobody's going to cut down our forest.
I don't know what I've been told, but this here squirrel's going to tell you to get the hell out of here.
So you can tell that I really enjoy animated movies. And I love the squirrels in all the animated movies that I've seen. They are just
excellent
and awesome.
I have two suggestions for you. One is serious, one is not. You have to guess which one is which. There is a video podcast of Foamy the Squirrel. I'm just going to say that. Okay. And then I want you to Google up at some point, squirrel horror movie. It's just called Squirrels.
Okay.
It's not a real movie. It was a fake trailer, but I would watch this movie. It is awesome.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna
the
have
fake
to
trailer is enough to make me buy. He's like, I'll buy that movie.
Nice.
So I'm just leaving those at you, and you can figure out which one is serious and which one is like, okay, maybe not so much.
Awesome.
But so, yeah.
Do we want to take a look at the comments and see if somebody guessed my bird?
Let's scroll back through the chat room. What did she say? Caladrius?
Yes.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
As soon as you said what you said, I quickly googled. I was like, oh, there we go. So her online screen thing is emphatic voice.
Emphatic voice?
I guess at some point she can give me an email address and I can throw that at you.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. And then I can make sure that when the book comes out, she gets an e-copy of her choice. She can let me know what she would prefer. So we are good to go. We have a...
We have a wiener!
We have a wiener!
There we go. I have no idea what she's saying right now in the chat room, so I'm just going to leave that alone right there.
Okay.
And we're going to move into the how do people find and follow you?
Right. So, I am on Facebook almost 24/7, and I shouldn't be.
I noticed
it's just
that.
Kinda, yeah, it's on in the background. Like, I'll walk away and I'll make dinner and then I'll come back again. So it looks like I'm there when I'm not. I have a movie
for you to watch called The Social Dilemma. You may learn to stop doing some stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I have an author page at author MJ Moores. And my Twitter is also the same, at author MJ Moores. Kind of makes it easy to remember. And Instagram is different. I can't actually tell you what that is off the top of my head because I'm not on it enough.
Your webpage or your Twitter? Oh, your Twitter, right. Okay.
My Instagram and my webpage, like you said, mjmoores.com is pretty easy to find. And there's free stuff. You stop by, sign up for the newsletter, and yeah, there's about 3 or 4 different free ebooks that you can pick up.
I noticed that too.
Yaha.
And I think it was at author MJ Moores. Because I know I tagged you on both Instagram and Twitter.
Okay, so I was able to keep it for Instagram as well. Nice.
It's been a while since I can't remember which.
Yes, it's definitely for Twitter. I know it is for Twitter.
Yes, that makes sense. Because I had more difficulty with the Twitter than I did with the Instagram, which was weird. All right.
So yeah, that's how you can find me.
Well, that's awesome. And I just wanted to say thanks for being a guest tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
Excellent. And now I'll eat a couple of squirrels and get out to some receiving and do what I normally do. Everybody out there in After Rotten Line, have yourselves an amazing good time. Thanks for showing up. Come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Although I don't know if they're going to keep calling it Eastern Standard Time because they're talking about getting rid of the daylight savings thing. We'll see how that goes. Feel free, be happy. Find us on the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Doompa Lanka Lanka Wanka Wanamaka, whatever it is, and all those other things. And now it is time for, should we have outro A or outro B? I'll give you a choice.
B.
B? Okay, it's a good choice. That's the Teddy Bear's Picnic.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.